We begin the current daven, Sefer Shavuos, daf Chav Ches. Begin 7 lines down from the time of the Yamin. But the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf, which was discussing halacha from Rava. Rava said if someone takes an oath on a loaf of bread that he's not going to eat it, and then he ends up eating from it, so if he leaves over the size of a kezias, he can still go to the chacham and be shayil on the neder and be eikrit l'mafreya. And the Gemara two interpretations. Either it's tamad, he said shaloi eichel or shaloi chlena, as we explained on the top of this amid. But read that as it may, according to both interpretations, there has to be at least something significant left of a kezias to be shayil on the thing. Once you totally consumed it, you can't then go and be shayil on it so that one should not have been violated retroactively what he ate this piece of this loaf of bread in sin. On this halacha, the Gemara asked Meisvei on Rava's halacha from the following brayso, which we had on the previous stuff. The brayso says, "Misha nadash tei naziris." If someone took a vow of 2 naziris vows, which is the halachas that are for a nazir, not to partake of wine and other things, umana rishayna. So he has 2 times; he has to count 30 days and do the procedures and do the second time. So umana rishayna, he counted the first 30 days. Vehifresh le carbon, and he already separated carbon for that first period of naziris, which is obligatory after one finishes naziris. And then after he finished his first naziris, he went and he was shoyel. He went to the chacham and said, "You know what? I really don't want this first pair of naziris." And he shows how he had charata, the regret, in which it was essentially not a neder of naziris in the first place. So says the brayso, also lishnir b'rishayna. So now the first one is like it was never here. The second one now takes the place of the first one, and he doesn't even have to count the second one. The second one just takes that place, and the carbon will be for that second one. So you see, says the Gemara, that even though the first one is totally gone, it's done already, you see, you can still be shayil on it. Not like Rava, who said that you could only be shayil on a neder, like not eating this loaf of bread, only if there's something left. But if it's totally gone, you can't be shayil. Here you see that even if it's totally gone, you could be shayil. Says the Gemara, what are we talking about over here? It's not totally gone. Bishlei keeper, he separated the carbon, but he didn't yet bring it for atonement. Since he didn't have atonement, the first naziris is still here, and that's why you can be shayil on it. On that, as the Gemara, but Vatanya Kippa, within the Braisa, that he had atonement already, the carbon was already brought, and still he could be Shayel. Oh, says the Gemara, but still Bishle Gilach, it's talking about where he didn't yet cut off all his hair, which he has to do in the entryway of the oil Mayid from the head of his Naziris, as it says in the Pasuk. V'Rebelazi, it's going like Rebel Yezim, Mesephtis Naziris, Navasamach Gimel, and Aleph, the Amma Taklachas Me'akva, he says that the end of the Naziris, which meaning to be able to now be permitted to drink wine and to become tummy to mason, is only when he cuts off his hair. And therefore, since he didn't yet cut off his hair, even though he brought his carbon already, it's still considered there's something left over of his Naziris to be able to be shayil on exactly like Rabbi Salacha. On that, the Gemara with Tanya Gilach. But then the Braisa, even if he had atonement, and even if he already cut off his hair, still it said in the Braisa that he could be shayil. So again, that contradicts Rabbi. There's nothing left over. So Amar Ravashi, he says, no, Naziris Karamis, are you asking from Naziris on the halacha of a neder? In other words, he says, the halacha is really like Rava, that from the moment that the oath has already been totally violated, it's not fit anymore to be shayil in it, to uproot it retroactively. And then you can't be shayil anymore. You're asking from the Brais regarding Naziris? That's not a difficulty. Because mi garm lishniyish leitachal, what caused the second oath, the second vow in Naziris, not to take effect? In other words, what is causing you to ask that you're saying that the second days which were counted, you're asking, should not be valid for the second vow, for the second oath vow of Naziris, because it was only for the first one? So it's the first one that's preventing the second one from taking effect initially, because you first count for the first 30 days and then for the second 30 days. Now, this is already gone, so we want the second one to take effect. But then your question is, but Rishayna, what was holding back the second one was the first vow of Naziris and the Eina, and it's not here anymore. In other words, what the Chacham is doing, and this is showing the relevancy of the first vow of Naziris, that it is still here even though it's totally gone. When the person goes to the Chacham is showing you that regarding the person's regret, that it's a valid regret, and he's uprooting the first vow of Naziris retroactively. So it comes out that the second vow of Naziris is going to be valid the first time that we counted. The only reason why we didn't was because the first one. So therefore, it's as if the whole first vow of Naziris is still over here. What do you mean still over here? You already counted the 30 days. You already brought your carbon. You already cut your hair. Yeah, but it's still here because it's substantive. Because the whole reason why the second vow of Naziris is not the first 30 days we counted was because the first one. So I mean, there's something still here. So you could still be shoyel in it, and that would allow the second one to take effect in the first one. In contrast, like by Rava's halacha regarding a regular neder, a loaf of bread where he swore that he's not going to eat it, and then he eats it, obviously once he eats it, the shvu is gone. There's nothing more, there's no relevancy for it anymore, and therefore it's not valid to do any more shayla. Again, in contrast to this case of this brisa, it has relevancy, it's like it's still around, and therefore even though everything of the procedures was already done, you could still be shayla in it. Now this was all in Rava's halacha. However, the Gemara brings out a name armor, he disagrees with Rava. He says, "Afila achla kula." Even if a person said he swore he's not going to eat the loaf of bread, and he ate the whole entire loaf of bread, still neshalallah, he could still be shayla, he could go to the chacham to uproot it retroactively, as if he didn't violate anything. Why? He explains. Because ibishayig, if he had violated by mistake, mechusa carbon. There's still something lacking over here, didn't bring a carbon, and that carbon is a shiur, is something, a remnant of that Shavua, which oneder that you can still be shayla on. So mechusa carbon. And so too, Ibn Mezer, he did it deliberately, mechusa malchus. He's still lacking lashes, and therefore the procedures is not done yet, and therefore one could still be shayla on that shavua, and that's why he disagrees with Rav. Even if he ate the loaf of bread, he could still be shayla. Yeah, they both agree something has to be left over, but their disagreement is regarding if the punishment is considered part of the shavua to still be shayla on that. Now, even he agrees, however, avo kaftua ala amit loy. But if he was already tied to the post to get lashes, then no, then that's nothing left over anymore, because it's like in halacha, as if he really get the lashes, so there's nothing left anymore to undo, and then you can't be sure then anymore. Why is that? Says Nigmar Kedish Shmuel. Because Damash Shmuel said, Kavtu ala Amr, if someone was tied to the post in court to get lashes, Virat mi bezn, and he escapes, he runs, he flees from court before they get a chance to give him lashes, Patri is exempt from lashes. So you see, because it's already as if he got it already, and therefore, the moment that he's tied, he can't be shoyl anymore on the Shavuot. To which the Gemara says, Vilay, it's not really so. It's not exactly the way you're comparing to Shmuel. Because Hasam Ratz, over there by the case of Shmuel, he wasn't just tied to the post, he also fled. That fleeing like a fugitive is embarrassing and disgraceful. And therefore, that fulfills what the pasuk says, "V'nikla la'achicha," which the Gemara Makas of Chav Gimel Rav says. Once he's nikla, once he was disgraced, he's like your brother. You can't do any more lashes for him. He's already like pure. In contrast, Hachalei Ratz. Yeah, he was tied to the post, but he didn't run away. And if it says the Gemara, it's not exactly like Amemer said. A person would still be lacking the lashes. He would not be considered v'nikla la'achicha, nikla achicha la'inecha, and therefore he would still be able to be shayel on the neder. Another teaching from Amar Rava. Rava says, in the halachas that we're discussing, Shvua shlo eichel kikerzu. He says, if someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, im eichel zu, if I eat this loaf of bread. So it comes out, one loaf of bread is the prohibited loaf, and the other one is the conditionary, is the variable of the condition. Now, the one that he swore on is the one that's forbidden on him, and the one that he made the condition, which if I eat this one, that's the Tanai one. Now, the halacha that Rav is coming to teach us is that whenever someone makes an oath on condition, and he makes it contingent on the other loaf of bread, the prohibition of the oath only takes effect at the time of when, it doesn't take effect when he actually says the words. Generally, we say, when he says the words, as we explained in the previous stuff, you have to have adam b'shvuah, you have to be conscious at the time that you're saying it. The oath is happening when you're saying the words. Here, it's not happening right away, because the oath is conditional. It's only going to take effect when you have the first action, when you eat that first loaf of bread. You say, if I eat this one, then this one's prohibited. So if at that moment is the moment really of the oath. Now, if at that moment he recalls the oath, that would qualify for ha'adam b'shvua, that he's conscious that this is creating an oath. And then the oath is going to take effect to be liable to carbon if he eats the second one, which is the prohibited one, by mistake. Now, this halacha is whether he eats the conditional one first, or whether he eats the prohibited one first, as long as he is a shaygig, as long as he's by mistake, at the time that he's eating the prohibited one in regards to the halachas of carbon, or if he to get malchus, if he does it deliberately. However, as long as that, if he's getting malchus, is that he's going to get hasra at the time that he's eating the prohibited one. Now, if he really forgot the oath at the time when he's eating the first loaf of bread, that's the time when the oath is going to take effect, like we said, not when he's saying the words, because it's conditional, then that will not qualify for adam bishvur, and then the oath is not going to take effect, not to be chayav a carbon if he does the issa one by mistake, and not for malchus, even if he does it deliberately. which the Gemara later is going to bring support for his halacha from a Mishnah Masechtas Nedarim. So it says Rava, this halacha again, if he swears, I'm not going to eat this loaf if I eat this loaf. Now, the halacha is as follows. He says, he brings many different computations. He says, if v'ochel es rishayne b'shegig, he eats the first loaf of bread by mistake, unaware. Now, the first one is the one of the condition, because that was the order of his oath. He says, if I eat this one, this is the conditional one, then I'm not going to eat this one. Now, explains Rashi, this that Rav said that the first one being eaten is the conditional one, is not because it was the other way around, it wouldn't take effect. It would take effect, and he definitely would be liable retroactively. It's only because one of the cases Rav wants to say is if the first one is bemazed, meaning deliberately, consciously, and the second one is b'shegig, unaware, that then is yimechayev carbon, that halacha would only be if the second one is the prohibited one. Because then that would qualify to say that the prohibited one is the one that is b'shegig, which is when you chayev the carbon oil of the yayrid for the shvuas bitur. Because if it was the conditional one, the second one, then he would not bring a carbon on his consumption of the prohibited one, which was the first one, to be chayv on that retroactively, now that you're eating the conditional one second, because actually when you eat the first one, the prohibited one, you were doing it bemazed, deliberately, and that's in a permitted way, because at that time there actually was no iser to eat the quote prohibited one, because he had not yet eaten the conditional one, which is second. Now, although that if he's going to be b'shegig at the time when he's eating the last one, which is the moment when he's violating the oath retroactively, so isn't that the one that you're qualifying for the halacha of carbon el b'yared when you by mistake violate the shvuas bitur? No, because the shkaga has to be at the time of the prohibition. Prohibition is not the secondary one. The second one's kicking in is the conditional to violate the isser, but the isser was the first one that was being eaten. And at that time, he wasn't shegig, he was actually bemazed, and so therefore, for bemazed purposes, not going to be chayav carbon el b'yared. And also, moreover, it was permitted at that time, and therefore, that's why Rav says it in this way, that the first one that is eating is the conditional one, and the second one is the prohibited one, but for practical purposes, actually, halacha would be the other way too. It's just that one of the cases would only work in the conditional first, and the prohibited one second. So again, for the way Rav is setting it up, so he eats the first one, the conditional one, by mistake. And the second one, the prohibited one, he eats deliberately. Meaning at the time when he ate the first one, since we're describing it as when he ate the first one, which is the conditional one, he was b'shegig, meaning he was unaware. He really forgot about his oath. When he ate the prohibited one, which is the second one, he recalled his oath, and he was doing it deliberately. Says Rava, Potter. So he's going to be exempt from Malkus, even if he was warned when he was doing it deliberately the second time, because the oath never took effect. Why? Because when he ate the first loaf, which was, again, we said, is the time when the oath was taking effect, he already forgot it. So that doesn't qualify, like we said in the previous stuff, you have to be ha'adha, mishmu, you have to be conscious at the time that you're taking the oath. Now, so not only are you exempt, of course, when you do it deliberately, because we're saying the oath didn't even take effect, for sure, you're not going to be chayvin a carbon, because since you're doing the second one, the issue one deliberately, as we said, you're not chayvin a carbon on b'mezes, only when you do it b'shegig, then you chayvin a carbon on b'yard. So in either way, he's going to be exempt from malchus and from carbon. Another equation. Let's say rishayna. When he's eating the first one, the conditional one first, he recalls the oath. And he eats it, b'mezed, eats it deliberately. He knows that he's creating an oath right now. He says, if I eat this one's prohibited. So he knows. But when he's eating this conditional one, that's permitted. Because he didn't take an oath forbidding this loaf of bread. Now, this first consumption is deliberately. Vishniya b'shegig, when he eats the second one, the prohibited one, he really forgot about the oath. So then the halacha is chayv is going to be liable for a carbon, because since at the time when he ate the first loaf of bread, he remembered the oath, and he knows by eating this, he's going to make the second one prohibited on him. So then we say that qualifies for adam b'shvua. He was conscious when he was creating the oath. So the oath is taking effect. Now when he eats the second one, he's by mistake, he's forgot. So he's violating the oath b'shayi. That's the halacha being chayv a carbon oil b'yared for by mistake violating a shvuas bitur. So therefore he's going to be chayv on the carbon. Another case. Shtein b'shegig. Let's say both were by mistake. Meaning, both when he ate the first loaf of bread, which was the condition, and both when he ate the prohibited one, when he ate that one first, So the either one, whichever one is the first one that he's eating, whether it be the conditional one or the prohibited one, pati is going to be exempt, like we explained, because when he's eating it the first time, that's when the oath is supposed to take effect. Not when he said the words, because it was conditional. At that time, he forgot. And therefore, the oath is not going to take effect to make the second one prohibited. And therefore, in either way of this situation, he's going to be exempt when if he's eating both of them b'shaygig. But again, since the first one, which is when it's supposed to take effect, he was not conscious, therefore it's going to be exempt. Now, continue to midbeis. Let's say shtein b'mezit. Let's say he ate both loaves of bread deliberately. I knew this is the conditional one, and I know this one that's going to be prohibited on me. And he does it anyway. So it depends. If he eats the conditional one first, and then he eats the prohibited one second, so the mechayev, then he's going to be liable for lashes, because at the time that he ate the first one, he remembered his oath, and the oath took effect to make the second one prohibited. When he ate the second one, and people warned him, hey, don't eat this loaf, you already ate the conditional one, this is definitely prohibited on you, don't eat it. And because you had taken the oath that if you eat this first one, this is going to be prohibited, and he eats it, so then again, mechayev, then he's going to be liable for lashes. Now, Of course, we're talking about lashes because since doing deliberately, there's no chiv carbon oil b'yar. But let's say the other way around. Let's say achlil isuri. He did them both deliberately, but first he ate the quote prohibited one. V'hadu achlil tenoi. Then after that, he ate the conditional one, which now retroactively, the first one that you ate was prohibited because you said if you eat that one, this one's prohibited. Says the Gemara, pluktid Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Now that would be contingent on machlikis Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, where they disagree on the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Regarding Hasra Safik, regarding a doubtful warning, where this case is Hasra Safik, because when he was warned when he was eating the first prohibited one, it was only, if someone's warning, hey, this is the prohibited one, it's only a Hasra Safik. When they tell him, don't eat it, what's the doubtful warning? Because you might eat the second one, and then it will come up retroactively that you violated this prohibition. Because We don't know this is prohibited. You might not eat the conditional one, but you might, so it's Asura Safik. In contrast, even if they warn him regarding when he's eating the second one, conditional one, they tell him, don't eat it, because if you can eat this conditional one, you're going to be violating the Isra that you ate the first one retroactively, even though that's a definite warning, that's also, says Rashi, not a valid warning, because the lashes don't come through consuming this loaf of bread. It's just the trigger for now retroactively having violated the first one. So therefore, that straw can't be on the conditional one, has to be on the Issa one. And at the Issa one, it's at most Astra Safik, so that would be contingent on their Machlekes. Lamanda Astra Safik Shema Astra Chayv, according to the one who says that a doubtful Astra, but nonetheless a warning, is a valid Astra, so then he's going to be Chayv. Lamanda Malav Shema Astra Apat, according to the one who says it's not considered a warning, he's going to be exempt, even though he's doing it deliberately, and they're warning him, but you don't know for sure he's going to eat the conditional one, and therefore it's at most Astra Safik, and there he's Patim. A different case description says the Gemara, Tiloin zu bezu. Up until now, Rav was talking about a case, which he had many different computations of it, which was when he said that if I eat this one's asr. One's a tnai, and one's the isr. Let's say he makes them contingent one on the other, meaning both of them, as the Gemara is going to explain, are both isr and both tnai. And he says as follows, he says, lo yechol zu im yechol zu. I'm not going to eat this one if I eat this one. And he says regarding the other one also, lo yechol zu im yechol zu. So each one is both a prohibition itself, which is contingent on the other one, and it's also the contingency, the tanai for the other one. Now, moreover, one of the computations, says Rava, is va'achal zu bezadin atzma u'bishigigis chaverte. He eats this one, he's aware, and he does deliberately regarding this own prohibition, but he forgets that it's also the tanai for the other one. So he remembers that this is the one he took an oath if he's going to eat the other one, but he forgets that he swore regarding the other one that it'll be prohibited if he eats this one. So the oath of this one itself will take effect, where if he'll eat the other one, that he's going to be chayv on this one retroactively, because he's conscious when he's eating this one first. But the oath regarding the other one will not take effect, because regarding that other one's oath, which its first consumption of the two oaths, when it's fit to take effect, is when you're eating this first one, which is the tanai for the other one, he's forgetting about that other oath when he's eating it. So if he eats this one with zadin asma shigis chaverta, v'zuba zadin asma shigis chaverta, and then he eats the other one also when he's deliberate regarding itself, but he forgets about the other one, so potter, so he's going to be exempt from both of them. Meaning, both regarding the lashes of the second one, which he was deliberate regarding, and both regarding the carbon of the first one, where he seemingly was violating it by mistake retroactively when he ate the second one. So why are you put in both cases? The lashes from the second one, you can be exempt like we explained, because the oath is not taking effect in the first place. Because it's tnai, which is the time that the oath takes effect, is he's making the second one prohibited on the condition of the first one when he's eating that. So then he was unaware of the second one oath. He was aware of the oath of that first one itself, but he's unaware that it's tnai for the second one. So therefore, you're not chayiv on the second one. So too, regarding the carbon retroactively of the first one that you potter, because as we said, when you ate the first one, it itself as an iser, he was not a shaggy when he ate it. He was deliberate regarding it itself. And we need to have that you have to have a shkaga when you're eating the iser itself. So though that you have a shkaga when you're violating the oath, when you're eating the second one, because when you're eating the second one, you forget that you have it as a tanai for the first one. But still, you're not going to be chayav on that of carbon, because again, as we said, the carbon comes for the first one, and when you ate that consumption, that was permissible, and therefore that's not considered techete b'shkaga. The shkaga has to be in the chet, and here the shkaga was only in the tanai. That's one variable. That's one way of putting it. Another case is the opposite way. Zu b'shigigis atzma u'bezodn chaverta. So again, these two loaves of bread, but each one is its nine, each one is iser. He ate this one, forgetting that this one is prohibited on him, but he did remember, which was deliberate, that eating this one will trigger an iser in the other one, and so too the second one. When he ate the second one, he realized that this is going to be the condition for the other one, but he was unaware that this one itself was prohibited to himself. So again, when he ate the first one, he forgot that there was an oath on this loaf of bread if he's going to eat the second one. Now, regarding its own oath, we cannot call it ha'adam b'shvua. Now, when he eats the second loaf of bread, he forgets that this loaf of bread is prohibited. He forgets that he took an oath on it, but he remembers that he took an oath on the first loaf of bread, and that by eating this one, it's going to be the tanai for that first one. So regarding this case, says the Gemara, chayiv. He's going to be chayiv what? As Rashi explains, he's going to be chayiv a carbon for the second loaf of bread, because its oath did take effect in the beginning. Because when he ate the loaf of bread, he's violating his oath by mistake. Why? Because he was unaware of itself. But when he ate the first one, when he ate the first loaf of bread, the person was aware that it's going to trigger that it's the tanai for the second loaf of bread. So it did take effect. And moreover, when he ate the second one, it itself, which is the iser, he forgot. So he had the oath took effect because of ad mishvua, and then he went and violated that loaf, second loaf itself, as a shkaga. But regarding malchus on the first one, that not. Although the Gemara is saying blanket chayiv, Rashi explains only on the second one of the carbon, but the first one's to be chayiv malchus, and that not, because initially the oath didn't take effect. Because as we said, you didn't have ad mishvua on the first one. You were shkaga for it itself. So therefore, there's not going to be any lashes. Moreover, Rashi addresses, there's no problem of, which we brought in the Bryce of the previous staff, that seemingly this case of the second loaf of bread should be problematic because he's not Shev Midi Asai, and therefore that should exempt him from a carbon because he's considered an avargan, someone that's deliberately violating an oath, because it's not true. When he does it deliberately, eating the second loaf of bread, that it's a condition for the first one, which he already ate, seemingly in sin, because now retroactively when he eats the second one and he's doing it deliberately, which is the condition for the first one, that's not an avera, as we pointed out, because it's not taking effect. So therefore, it's not considered ein shav midiyasa, and therefore, again, he is considered a valid person to be chayav a carbon for the violation by mistake of the second loaf of bread, which took effect by the first loaf eating, which was bemazed for the other one. Another case is shtein b'shegig. Let's say, when he ate both loaves of bread, he forgot both oaths. As we said, each loaf of bread is an oath for itself and also a condition with the other one. When he ate both, he forgot about both. So then says, the Gemara Pater, then he's going to be exempt. And the reason for that is because when the first eating of the two oaths, when they're both supposed to take effect, at that time he forgot about both of them. And therefore, again, as we said, they're both contingent on the first time you eat, that's when the oath takes effect. And then it's not an other mishvu, and therefore none of them take effect. Let's say shtein b'mezid. Let's say when he eats both loaves of bread, he's deliberate regarding itself and regarding the other one. So then hashniya mechayev. Then regarding the second one, he's going to be chayev because that's a definite warning. Because when he ate the first one, and he remembers itself and the other one, so he was warned regarding that. that he knew about that. And when he eats the second one, and he's doing it deliberately, and he's warned, so he already ate it tonight before, and he was aware of it, he was unbeshru, and he's eating the second one, so that's a definite asra. In contrast, arishayna, but if let's say, regarding the first loaf of bread, and they warned him when he was coming to eat it, that what's the warning? That he didn't eat it tonight yet, but maybe you're going to eat the other one and you're going to be violating this retroactively. So that's asra safik. So that's like we mentioned before in the previous case, which was only one condition and one isser. Here we're talking about that both are conditions and both are isser. So this is also, however, the same idea. Pluk derbir mishlakish, derbir mishlakish, where you're eating the first one deliberately, but still you don't know if he's going to eat the second one. So asra safik, and that's their machlekes, so that's considered valid asra de b'chayv malchus or not. Says the Gemara, Omar of Mari, Afanan Namatanina, we also learned a Mishnah Masechta Nedarim like Rava, where if someone makes his oath contingent on something else and he fulfills the condition first, he has to recall the oath at that time, because if not, the oath is not going to take effect, because although when he said the oath, he was conscious, but that's not when it takes effect. It takes effect only at the time of the condition, and then he has to be on the Mishruah, as we see in the following Mishnah Masechta Nedarim. Mishnah says, there are four types of vows that the sages permitted even without being shoyel on the neder. They say it's like not a neder in the first place. They are nidrei zruzin, which is the person only took the vow to be mezare someone else, to motivate someone else that he shouldn't be stuck. Nidrei havoy, or hyperbolic type of a neder, which is not a neder at all. And then there's nidrei shkagus, which is the one we're going to describe when someone takes a neder by mistake. Or nidrei einzin, something beyond the person's control. The primary one that Rav Mari wants to bring from is Nidrei Shkagus Ketzad. The Mishnah describes what's the type of a nether which was taken by mistake, which is not considered a nether in the first place. That is, if someone says Kainim, which is a terminology of prohibition of a nether, I'm making forbidden on myself that thing, whatever it is that he's prohibiting, Im achalti v'im shasisi, if I ate today or if I drank today. And he thinks actually that he didn't. Then he remembers that he actually did eat and he did drink. So that seemingly it's a valid nether. That's what the Mishnah says over there, that nether is batel, and he's permitted in that thing. Because he was totally unaware that he had done that, and therefore that's considered nidrei shkagus. So to continue the Mishnah, if let's say he says, she'eini oichel, she'eini shaisa, that is, I'm making this thing forbidden on me if I eat today, and then shachach, he forgets actually that he took an oath. V'achavashasa, and he eats and he drinks. So similarly, okay, so the neder should take effect. Says the Mishnah, no, mutter, he's permitted in that thing. That's like the halacha of Rava, because you need to recall the neder at the time when you're fulfilling the condition. Here the condition was, what's going to make the neder kick in is if he eats. And when he eats, he actually forgot that he took the neder, and therefore it's not going to be a valid neder. As the Gemara says, v'tani Allah, because we learned in the Braisa on this Mishnah, k'shem she'nidrei shkagus mitaren, just like regarding the lochas of nidarm, of vows, if it's done by mistake, in error at the time of the tonight, it's permitted. Kach shvua shagagas mataris, so too, an oath that is by mistake at the time of when the vow should take effect, which we see is the time of the tonight, is also going to be permitted, which is like the locha of Rava. Now the reason why it's indicative of Rava's halacha is because you cannot explain the case of kainim shani oichel in any other way, where that he makes a contingent and something else, his consumption, as we explained, because Rashi says if you'd want to say it and explain it a different way, for example, let's say you're saying kainim shani oichel means to say I'm prohibiting on myself consumption, meaning it wasn't with the tonight, it was this thing itself. And he said kainim was this food I'm making forbidden, and then if he gets and he eats and he drinks, so how would you say that it's mutter, where because that's what the Mishnah is saying, arbon nedarm hitiru, but he already violated the neder by mistake. What does it mean? Like, what do you mean? What's permitted? It already was done. And if you want to say hitiru means, that means they're exempting him from lashes, well, that's obvious. Who warned him? He forgot totally about it. Moreover, Rashi says that generally, mutter does not mean the terminology of putter, so if it's obvious that it's talking about a case of a stipulation, which is the case of tonight, which is exactly like the case of Rava, as the Gemara explains, because Shvur Shagagas Echadami, what would be the parallel, like the Bryce is comparing Nidra Shagagas to Shvur Shagagas? Lav Kagavna, isn't it this type of a case which we explained as that of Tanai? And you have to be conscious at the time of the Tanai, that's what takes effect. Shemamina, from there you see, again, proof to Rava's halacha, which Rashi is not gurus this line in parentheses, because this of Im Achalti, the Gemara already explains this in the Dharm, like Rav Kahn Ravasi, and this Imani Yoichel is explicitly like Rava, because that's the condition which is saying that the Neder is taking effect at the time of the night, which the Bryce already compares to Shavuos. If we don't need the Gemara to what's called fear that ois, to come to that conclusion, but not to have the girsa of that line. But be that as it may, it's the same idea that the Gemara is bringing proof to Rava from the Mishnah Masechtas Nedar. My Gemara continues related discussion. Eifa Tani Shvuas Bei Rabba. Eifa learned Masechtas Shvuas at the Yeshiva of Rabba. Pogibe Avim Achu, his brother Avimi, who Eifa and Avimi were both the sons of Rechava of Pumpadisa, so his brother came and encountered him, and Amalei said to him, "Oh, you learned Masechtas Shvuas? I have a question for you. Shvuush loichalti ma'u. If someone says, I swear that I didn't eat, and again he says, I swear I didn't eat, what's the halacha? So Amalei said to him, Ein lechayv alachas. You're only liable for one false oath. Now, he made a mistake, which is based erroneously on the halacha of our Mishnah, which our Mishnah said that if you say, I swear I'm not going to eat, I swear I'm not going to eat, I swear I'm not going to eat, it's only chayv one, because the shvuah is not chal on the shvuah. So he thought that that's the same thing in this case over here. On that Amalei, his brother said to him, no, ishtabashta, you made a mistake. Hariyatze shvuah lasheker, the oath has already gone out falsely. In other words, from the moment he took the first oath, when he swore, yeah, I didn't eat, that false oath already is bygone. When he takes the second oath, that's its own independent oath. In other words, and you should not exempt it from the oath of the past because of shvuah chalal shvuah. That halacha of our Mishnah is only regarding a future for the an oath for the future, where if he swears, I'm not going to eat something, and then again he swears, I'm not going to eat that same thing, where that's already, he already has to not eat that thing because of the mitzvah of the oath not to eat it. When he's swearing again, I'm not going to eat it, it's being making a shvuah on the divine mitzvah, that doesn't take effect. In contrast, for the past, that I didn't eat and I didn't eat, there's no, it's not taking effect on the first oath. The oath already went, you already said that falsehood, it's already gone. And then when you take again, it's its own independent oath, and therefore you actually would be chayev for every time he says the false oath. Another question he asked him was, shvuah shlo eichel tesha. If someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat nine pieces of something, and then the eser, and then he says, I'm not going to eat of 10. Ma, what's the halacha? So he's taking two separate oaths, and that is, he says, I swear I'm not going to eat 10 figs, and then he says, I swear I'm not going to eat, and he says, I'm not going to eat 9 figs, and then he says, I swear I'm not going to eat 10 figs, and then he eats 10 figs in one lapse of awareness. So his brother asked him, what's the halacha? So then he answers. He says, chayav kol achas v'achas. He's liable for each and every one, meaning for each one of those oaths. His mistake was that he was saying that the second oath was not included in the first oath, and therefore that's not a shvuah chalal shvuah. The first oath was only for 9. Here he's saying that for 10. So it's adding on. So 9 was one, and 10 was another one. So he's chayav on both those oaths, so he ends up eating 10. Again, Amalei Ishtabashta, his brother said to him, no, you made a mistake. Because actually this is a shvuah on a shvuah. Because, and they're coming from different points of logic, how to understand the, and the Mefarshim elaborate on this, what they define as, when you're saying not 89, is the whole unit of 9, is each one of 9. If someone swears, at least this is what his brother said, if someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat 9, that includes not eating 10. Because, says his brother, if he can't eat 9, so eser lo yachel, so he can't eat 10, so you can never come to 10. So therefore, 10 was already included in 9. So therefore, you only chayav on 1. Another question he asked him. Shvush lo eichel eser v'teshema. What's if he first swore, I'm not going to eat 10. And then he says, I swear I'm not going to eat 9. What's halacha? So his brother said to him, Eifa said, in the chayav alachas, he's only liable for one of the oaths. Now, according to his brother, Avimi, he made a mistake. Because his mistake was, Eifa's mistake was, that swearing he's not going to eat 9 is included in 10. Because if you're not eating 10, 9 is in 10. Like we always have a chlal masayim mana. In 200 is 100. So if he says, I'm not going to eat 10, and he says, I'm not going to eat 9, of course, in 10 is 9. Which Amalei said to him, no, ishtabashtu, you make a mistake. Esther hu delayachal, when he first swore, I'm not going to eat 10, it meant the whole 10. But that meant to say, but up until then, you could have eaten 9. And therefore, he was not forbidden on 9 in the first oath. Therefore, when he eats 9, he's going to be liable because of the second oath. And when he then eats the 10, then he's violating the first oath. And therefore, his brother actually tells him he's going to be chayav on both oaths and not just on one. However, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, although Avimi proved his brother wrong, zimnen de mishkachas la halacha de Eifa, there could be times that we could actually find that this halacha of Eifa would be correct. That if someone swears that he's not going to eat 10 and then 9 and then he eats 10, that he actually will only be chayev on 1. In a certain type of a case. I mean, although Avimi is correct, you chayev on 2, there will be situations that when you say 10 and then 9, you only be chayev 1. Kedemar, like the way the master Rabbah had described. Because Amar Rabbah, Rabbah said the following case. Someone swears, I'm not going to eat figs and grapes. In it together in one day. But the oath did not include just figs. Then he goes and takes another oath. And he swears, I'm not going to eat just figs. Now, if he would have eaten figs and grapes in one day, he'd be chayv on two. Because when he would eat the figs, he would be chayv on the second oath. When then he would complete by eating the grapes too, then that would be liable for the first oath, which was for both the figs and the grapes. Now, however, as we get tinted with Chavtes and Aleph, v'ochel te'enim. He ate figs, forgetting about his last oath. But he had violated now his second oath. The hifrish carbon. And he separated carbon. Then after he already separated carbon for the figs, which was in fulfillment of violating his second oath, he then went and only ate grapes by itself, forgetting about the first oath. Now the thing is, once he had already separated carbon on the figs, it cannot combine anymore regarding the prohibition of eating the grapes with it to be liable for it regarding the first oath. And therefore comes at Havilu Anovim Chatzishir, comes out when he's eating the grapes, he's only eating half of the oath. And because it cannot combine anymore with the figs that he ate also, because he already brought an atonement for that. V'chatzishir l'mechayev carbon, and therefore if I have a measurement, you can't be chayev a carbon. So in that case, Rabbi described, you only mechayev for one. Hachanami says, Abai, here also in the case of Eifa is the same thing. K'goin da'amar shvur shlo yichal esef, if someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat 10 figs. V'chazav amar shvur shlo yichal tesha, then he says, I swear I'm not going to eat 9 figs. V'achal tesha, then he eats 9 figs, which is that with forgetting about the second oath. Now, if he didn't bring a carbon out and then he would eat another fig, so then he'd be chayiv for both oaths. But says Abaye, this is where Eifas Halacha could be appropriate. The hifrish carbon after he ate 9, he separated carbon for the second oath. And then the achakal achal asiris, and then he went and ate the 10th one. Oh, havel asiris chatzi shir. That 10th one is not the 10th one. It can't combine with the 9 anymore. It's like just 1 out of 10. The chatzi shir lemechayv and the half a shir nachayv, and therefore that would be a case when you could have technically avimis halacha. Again, even though avimis disproved him in concept, which is that generally when you have 10 and 9, that you will be chayv on both. But you could have a case of 10 and 9, you only have 1, and the case when after the 9, you have a mafresh carbon, and then you eat the 10th one, which it cannot combine. So it's only part of the shir, it's only like 1, not 10, but 1. You still have 9 more to go. Then in that situation, you're only going to be chayv on one carbon.